Alors, on procède avec la présentation.
Speaking with the presentation, Emily Lampron, who's a health research professional for Marie-Pierre Gagnon at the University of Laval Quirac Hospital Center. She has a degree in anthropology, a master's in anthropology, and her subject dealt with schizophrenia in the Montreal Haitian community. She has interests in the health field in a very specific way, particularly for the mental health and access to health care. Her presentation is called The Technology of Information Technology, Training and Maintaining Health Professionals in the Aboriginal Environment. This is Madame Lampron. Hello, on behalf of Marie-Pierre Gagnon's team, I'm a research professional at the University of Laval Hospital Center, Research Center. I'll talk about information community technologies, training and maintaining healthcare professionals in an Aboriginal environment or in the Aboriginal communities. Before I begin, I'd like to thank the financial support received from McGill and from Health Canada for this project. Before we go further and deal with the main results of our research, let me give you a brief overview of our project. The project was conducted in two Aboriginal communities in Quebec. One is located in a remote region, the second one in a semi-remote region. Both of them both are English-speaking. They're both English-speaking communities. So we're talking about equitable access to health care for English-speaking Aboriginal communities. And we're talking about the shortage of professionals in these communities as well and the impact on their access to health care for Aboriginal communities. The objectives of the research were to explore the role of ethics in the training and the of healthcare professionals who work in English-speaking Aboriginal communities. We wanted to propose strategies based on ethic for the recruit and maintain healthcare professionals in Aboriginal communities. We proceeded with a case study within two healthcare organizations, one in each region, whose clientele were English-speaking Aboriginal peoples. We had 16 semi-directed interviews. We had the healthcare professional and managers working in the communities who have worked or who have already worked in the Aboriginal communities. The research is aligned with the McGill Project because they analyze the contribution of ethics to help maintain and recruit healthcare professionals. We look at the factors which promote the use of ethics, the role of ethics in healthcare, in English-speaking Aboriginal communities. Here's a table of results. Our first question, which was, in linguistic terms, as you can see, I put side by side both communities, Community A, which is non-remote community, and Community B, which was a remote community. In both cases, using English was current, and each of them had their own Aboriginal language as well, so two languages were used. I want to say which was the maternal language of the healthcare workers, and when we say that, regardless of the maternal language of the healthcare professionals working in either of the communities, the language at work is still English, the English. This does not mean there's not problems in terms of the language. Even that English is used as a working language in both communities, it's not exclusively used. The barriers encountered, depending on the community, the barriers varied. In the non-remote community, the linguistic barriers were in terms of communication with external healthcare facilities. We heard the comments that the difficulties met with dealing with off-reserve healthcare organizations where they had to deal mostly in French, and they were not able to get information in English, which is difficult for healthcare professionals because most of them are English-speaking healthcare professionals, even in the communities. So in the remote communities, the informants told us that the linguist problems we're dealing with the elderly people in the communities who don't speak English with any fluency. So we wanted to look at what was the impact of these linguistic barriers. According to the pie-shaped figure, you see, the positions are pretty much equal. Some that ethics won't hear, that ethics will not help to overcome linguistic barriers. It's up to the interpreters. They use interpreters. So we think that ethics might help. Some of those think ethics would be good with software, which helps us to do linguistic translation software to train. Then we want to know whether or not that communication information technology could be used, whether CITs or we can see in the non-isolated community, the problem of recruitment was in terms of health specialists. And also we could write to the also problem of retention in terms of specialists. In the remote community, there was no problem with recruitment except in terms of infrastructure. If it's too small of an institution or too small a facility, they could recruit more professionals if they extended their infrastructures, but the informants told us that there was retention problems as well. We want to look at the impact that CITs would have on the recruitment of professionals. What was interesting to see we had 10 respondents who told us that CITs are not definitive factor for recruitment of healthcare professionals. Some believe that out of the 15 responses, some of them think about an indirect. In other words, communication information technologists, CITs, there are other factors which are more important than CITs for recruitment. As you can see in these other tables, you have a stimulating environment, relations with the community, compensation, salary. So the different incentives that could be used, other than communication information technologies, which allows us to say that healthcare professionals do not need communication information technology support. It's not a major issue for them, whether or not the other elements that are more important on rather than communication and information technology, which have a greater impact. Thank you. Any question? Thank you.